entered access code 648568.
Now we're on Chapter 2, Oil Jumbo of the Holy Spirit. Lisa, do you have it?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
First,
many books are you... Okay, firstly, what does it mean to anoint? The anointing or to be anointed. There are many Hebrew and Greek words in relation to anointing. But for the sake of study, I will only mention a few. Anoint, Hebrew verb. Bashika, to rub with oil, to consecrate, to paint. Pronounce, feet. Took to smear over, more zoa to apply. The basic meaning of the word anoint is simply to smear something on an object. Usually oil is involved, but it could be other substances such as paint or dye. This gives the idea that to anoint something or someone is an act of consecration. Messiah, anointed one, who is consecrated for a special office or function.
Now stop there. Who did he call Jesus?
Messiah.
Which is mean Christ. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So anointed one.
Right.
Consecrated for the special office or function. So Christ was what anointed, wasn't he?
Yes, for a function. In simple terms, the anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit smeared upon someone. It is the overflowing of which imparts supernatural strength, enabling an individual to perform a special task or function in an office he is called and appointed to. In ancient times, God would anoint an individual to function effectively to an office. For example, he would choose a person and anoint him to stand in the office of a prophet. He would choose another and anoint him to stand in office of a priest. He would choose still another one and anoint him to stand in the office of a king.
David, God chose the one and the anointing of a king, a prophet, and also a priest.
David had all three.
He had all three. David as king is to arise and anoint him. God told Samuel the prophet to arise and to anoint King David as king. David as a prophet, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, spoke by the Holy Spirit. Right? David as priest, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered an offering and peace offering. 2 Samuel 24:25. But we understand that the priests are the only ones that were to offer sacrifice to the Lord, and we find David doing that. So he had all three anointings: as a king, a prophet, and a priest. These offices were also combined in Christ, the Messiah, for the Spirit-filled church. Said again, these offices were also combined in Christ, the Messiah, and for the Spirit-filled church. Okay. This is Jesus as our model. When you study about the life of Jesus, it is not secret. And when he was here on earth, he walked in the anointing. He walked in the anointing. So don't we want to walk in the anointing?
Yes.
Okay. When he became incarnate, he emptied himself of the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world as the pre-incarnate Word of God. The glory of being equal with the Father in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Jesus came to John Baptist at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. When he had been baptized, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. By the Holy Spirit. And this is by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Soon after Jesus won the first round and started his ministry with his own. So now we understand that, right?
Yes.
So we have to walk in the anointing, right?
Right.
So when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God came down on him like a dove, and it remained upon him.
Right.
And then he says this in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It is to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we understand that. So to do any ministry, you have to be what?
Anointed.
Anointed to do it.
Anointed by God.
Anointed by God. Any questions? All right. You can see what the anointing of God can do in the life of an individual who is called by God. After the wilderness experience, Jesus did not remain passive, but he started to demonstrate the power of God's kingdom in destroying the works of the devil. The anointing is for service to the King of Kings. It is not built for a little kingdom on earth. Jesus was there to God's will, not to please an organization, nor man, but to be the carrier of God's
word. Right, and that's what God wants us to do, to be the carriers.
And it's not to be what, please man?
Or build our own little kingdom on earth.
Do we see that today?
All the time. So what we're seeing is a misuse of God's anointing.
Yes.
Yes.
Misuse of God. There is no power, no atomic bomb, and no technology that can destroy the work of the enemy of our souls. It is only the anointing of El Shaddai that can break the yoke. Isaiah 10:27, it reads, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil."
So that for those that are new, Heather's on the line.
Yeah.
We have cousin Lester on the line of what the yoke is. What a yoke is and how the Lord differentiated between the yoke. He says, "Take my yoke upon you."
Yes. Yeah.
"And love of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Yes. Yes, answered.
No, I didn't see what the yoke was. You know, the Bible study of what the yoke was.
The yoke is the power of the enemy, right, to have you in bondage, which is sin, which is evil. And Christ came to do what? Take the burden away.
Yeah, but the Lord said that he had a yoke, and that his yoke was easy, and his burden was light, and the yoke is like what they put on oxen to help them to walk in step by step.
Take my yoke upon his anointing and learn. See, some texts says learn of me. Some say learn from me.
Oh, okay.
Some say learn of me, some say learn from me. We have to understand this. The ancient Hebrews, what they did in the Bible was, now, if you're looking at alphabet, you have the Aleph, which is the A, first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the symbol, if you look at it, is the ox head.
Yes.
Now, understand that the ox represents power. Okay? So, what they did was, they always yoked up an older ox with the young ox to do what? To teach the older ox is to teach the younger ox how to plow in a straight line.
Ah.
So now, when Jesus is talking about the yoke, he wants you to understand that you yoke up with me. I'm the older ox. I would teach you. And he brought it right back to the farmer again, because there he must have been talking to the farmer, because he mentioned yoke, and yoke, he mentioned the ox. So if we hook up with him, he will teach us, guide us, and walk through. Now we understand.
Yes. Well, he said, "Take my." So he's saying, in that instance, for us to yoke with him.
Yes.
He would. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yoke with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Take my yoke.
Take my yoke upon
you and learn. See that he says, learn.
Yes. And learn again. Or learn with me.
Yeah. Like I said, some texts say learn of me, some say learn from me. I will teach you. So they understood, Father, they understood that in order to teach the young ox, that they always yoke the younger with the older ox. So he was speaking, farming, because he mentioned the yoke, so they could understand. All right, any more questions? Where are we at? Hello?
The second paragraph, it says, "There is no power."
There is no power? Yeah, I would have read that.
Okay, it shall come to pass.
Okay. If Jesus needed to be anointed on earth, we need also to be anointed. Otherwise, we will be no match for the devil. So we need to be anointed, right?
Yes.
In the book of Acts chapter 19, we have an account there where Paul was at Ephesus speaking about the Holy Spirit. He was full of anointing. anointing, where God worked usual miracles by his hand. So that handkerchief, apron, was brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left him, and the evil spirit went out of him. There were some imitators who were not called by God and without the anointing, who tried to cast out evil spirits. This is actually, it says, and the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Jesus was known and is known in hell. Paul also was known in hell. The anointing was so strong upon him, the evil spirits seemed safe. So, to say what? It said, Jesus, you know, Paul, I know. These were the seven sons of Sceva. And they wasn't anointed, and they tried to cast out the evil spirits. And the evil spirits jumped all on them. It says, when these guys wake every morning, it makes hell tremble. But you, who are here? So, does hell know us? Do they know us? Are we the carriers of the anointing? Do we have power? Do we have authority? Don't we need that in our lives?
Yes.
So, this is about walking in the anointing. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's in Acts 19:6. These people were trying to merchandise the anointing. We'll say that again. These people were trying to merchandise the anointing. Satan is not a creator. He is a duplicator and a counterfeiter. He always tries to imitate the genuine. Right in the midst of many Christian galleries, he administrates imitation. Now, please don't misunderstand. These are genuine moves of the Holy Spirit. But in these last days, we must discern having the eyes of our spirit enlightened to detect the imitation from the genuine. We must not take everything for granted. Those who are ready, already anointed will bring life to others. So what's the anointing to do? What is the anointing for?
Bring life to us.
No, the anointing is to give us power to for God to use us in an office or a function for his kingdom. That's what the anointing is for.
We have to understand this. The anointing is to give was to bring the life to others.
Yes. And he said that's how you'll know those who are really anointed.
It didn't say anything about you.
That's right.
The anointing is not for us, just like Jesus didn't use the anointing for himself.
Anointing is for someone else. To be appointed to do something for someone else.
Right, for others.
For others.
So it's not for you.
It's not for you to get all famous.
No.
No. It's to help your brother, sister, come out of bondage, come out of darkness, come out of sickness.
So we are to use the anointing to enlighten.
Yes. That's what it's for. To bring life to others. And what is life? Jesus said, I came that you may have what?
Life.
And that you may have it more?
Abundantly.
Oh, okay. So he used the anointing. He was anointed to do that.
Right.
He said, I came not to condemn the world, but to do what?
Save.
Oh, so that's what he was anointed to do. He came to do, he said, to set the captives free.
Right.
To bring him to the blind. Come on.
And to, what did he say, something with the brokenhearted?
Yeah. Uh-huh. To heal the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand the anointing, not us. And those who are going to suffer.
Yeah, that's the part.
Yeah,
oh,
that's the part.
You're
that's
not what like because of your anointing.
Right.
What?
Whoa.
Whoa. Come on, now.
Right.
Wolves? What are you saying? The sheep among wolves. How can you... How come you can't hear?
Right. And that goes with the saying that God says it's easy to love those that love you.
Right. It's easy.
But
to lend to them who lend to you. What? Reward is it? The reward is love those.
That despise you.
Huh?
Right, that despise you.
Right. And to do that, and for you to be able to bear those things, you have to be in the anointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
You have to be.
Right.
So those who are really anointed will bring life to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can tell.
Right.
In number 16, there was a man named Korah, a Levite. This man had a hidden agenda. He called 200 school leaders of the congregation to contend and rebel against God's instituted authority figures, Moses and Aaron. Korah was jealous and wanted to win the priesthood for himself and his associates. We know about their end. They lost their lives. Then in Numbers chapter 17, God spoke to Moses and told him to get a rod on which the tribe leader, 12 in all, the name of each leader to be written on each rod. Particularly, Aaron's name was to be written on his rod. Numbers 17:4-5, it says, the rod of the man whom I chose will blossom. Now, understand this, that there, Korah rose up against Moses and Aaron because he wanted the priesthood.
For himself, right?
For himself. You just got to read about that, didn't you?
Right.
What the anointing is not for. And so he rose up. So God said, okay, I'm going to show them who I chose to be the priest, the high priest. He said,
right.
Now, out of the 12 times, you gather a rod and put the name on it. Okay. Now, we're going to read what happened to Aaron's rod. It's Numbers 17:4-5. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted, put forth bud, had produced blossom, and yielded ripe almonds. his rod. That's a miracle. So, what is that a picture of? What is that showing us?
That the chosen God bless the rod of the one.
The chosen one.
Right.
The chosen and anointed will blossom. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Will produce fruit.
Right.
And understand that rod was cut off of an almond tree, and Aaron used that rod. Now, the miracle is he wasn't even in the ground.
Right.
And look what it did, it blossomed. To tell you something, it had sprouted, it put forth bud, and produced blossom. The fourth stage is what? And you'll be right on it.
That was the fruit.
That's right. God said in verse 10 that it will be a sign against the rebels. That's the life and the rod of Aaron. Aaron was a ministry of life. If you are sitting under a ministry where you are dying, get out before it is too late. Anyone called by God and anointed must be a life giver. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, and my speech and my preach do not with persuasive
words.
Persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The word, the chapter 2, oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Okay, if you want to read Spirit of.
Okay, the word symbol is made up of two Greek words, stein, which means together, and bolon, which means to throw. Both words thrown together denotes an object used to represent something else, an emblem in the use of one thing to represent another. Therefore, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit because of some proper characteristics.
Yes.
Now, let us have a look in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, and let the Holy Spirit give us insight to understand more in the realm of anointing. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to shekel of sanctuary, and a hin, unit of liquid measure of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Exodus 30, 22-25. It basically said, I don't read it anyway. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto these principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much even to 150 shekels, as of sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels, as of kashua, name? How do you say it? What?
Cassia.
Okay, Cassia, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary and of olive oil and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compounded after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. First mention are the spices and their appropriate weight.
Can I ask a question? Yeah, the written scripture, about anointing someone before you anoint with oil, and then you lay hands on them. But what kind of oil do they make? They just get any kind of olive oil?
That's basically what they have, is olive oil.
Yeah.
They don't have the recipe that God used.
Right.
Because to get these ingredients, because they're so rare.
Right.
Each ingredient, from my understanding, is in a different place.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can just go to the grocery store and pick these items up and make this ointment. You have to get them from the sources that God has provided.
Right. Quality. Okay. It says quality.
Right.
Quality. Not just any kind of bodies. They just throw anything in it.
Right.
You don't know what you put in there. You don't know if that's against God, if the Lord wants you to put that in there or not. Or you just throw the mixture together, and then you know somebody did with it.
Well, it's not a mixture. All it is olive oil.
Some people mix it with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true, too. So, that's true.
Now watch what God says about this point.
First mention are the spices and their appropriate weight. The spices which were to be used must be of quality or principle. Yep. It is from the Hebrew.
I want you to don't forget this. First mention are the spices and their appropriate weight.
Okay. That means they have to be measured.
They have to be measured. You can't just
anoint. Don't pull this dumb stuff in there.
Right.
He told Moses how much to put in it.
Right.
Don't put too much of this in there. What I want here, I want you to follow my instruction. And don't try to mix your own stuff in it. Because this is representing
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And when they put their own stuff up, you're not representing the Holy Spirit.
That oil doesn't represent the Holy Spirit.
That's why people don't understand. Ananias and Sapphira. If you look up their name and what their names mean, their names represent God's loving kindness to provide for the people. And when they kept that, they didn't represent God's kindness in meeting the needs of the people. And the part of lying is you didn't represent the Holy Spirit. You didn't represent my loving kindness. Oh, man, that's my sin. See what it say, Ananias and Sapphira. Put their names up. Do you understand? Wow. They're supposed to represent my loving kindness to neither the need of through them their man. And in him.
And he killed them.
Jesus said, you didn't lie to man or us.
You lied to God.
You lied,
to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit. That's right. Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So you can't vow, make a vow, don't keep it.
That is better that you not to make it. Right, right.
Don't even do it. We have to be just anointing oil.
It's a serious thing.
Moses, now watch this. You didn't tell Aaron to make it.
No.
So some folks ain't make it. No.
Right.
Ain't anybody to make
it. Right. It is from the Hebrew word Rosh, meaning the head, the chief, the first, or excellent. God instructed Moses to use the best spices as ingredients of the anointed oil. They were valuable, costly, and rare. They were not common or cheap. There are four spices plus a hen of oil, olive oil, that were to be used. Myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia, and olive oil. The number five in the Bible speaks of grace. And if you notice, there are five ingredients. Grace means favor. God knows that man had become a weak creature after the fall, and he is no match for the devil. Therefore, he yearns to supply us by his Holy Spirit, the anointing, to favor his children with his ability and strength to reinforce Jesus' victory on Calvary. Now let's describe each spice and its spiritual application. Myrrh. Okay. Myrrh is a pale yellow gummy substance or liquid from a small thorny shrub which grows in Somalia, Ethiopia, and
Arabia.
I thought that's what it was. It is used for spice or an ointment. The best of it flows freely without the act of man. You hear that? Without the act of man.
Out.
God don't need no help. Okay, the oil of myrrh is purifying in its application. It is very costly, fragrant at the smell and bitter to the taste. It is also used as a balm to rub on four parts of the body to bring relief. So, the person of the Holy Spirit is a gift given by the grace of God to the body of Christ. He cannot be purchased because he is priceless. He shall never be addressed as it because he is God and needs to be obeyed and worshipped. The first thing he wants to do in an individual so that person can be used as a vessel of honor is to bring the spiritual myrrh to purify the vessel. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit is not for our destruction, but for our purification, to render us fit for the Master's use.
Wait a minute, say that again.
to render us fit for the master's use.
Let's go back to the fire.
The fire of the Holy Spirit is not for our destruction.
Do that again.
The fire of the Holy Spirit is not for our destruction.
But for what?
For our purification.
So, if you're not willing
to go through the fire,
submerged with the which was baptized into and the fire, you can't be purified.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to be purified to be fit for the master's use.
But everybody wants the anointing, though.
Yeah, because you know why they want it? Because they don't understand the cost.
I just want the anointing. But you don't want to be purified.
No.
You don't want to be fit for the master's use. But you want the anointing.
Right. It said in the beginning, even Jesus went through he went through several tests.
He sure did.
Right after the fast.
Right after the
fast.
Yeah. Right after he was back. Right after he got the anointing, he went through that.
Right.
Come on now.
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel
of honor.
Honor. Sacrifice.
Sanctified.
Sanctified and meet for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work.
Yeah, so what is that telling us?
That it's a process that we have to go through, that God has to send us through to deem us worthy.
Worthy of what?
Yeah, to be used for his use.
No, to be worthy of the anointing.
Right.
Wow.
That's heavy.
Yes.
That makes us understand that we must be obedient.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Unto the death, even the death of
And obedience is very hard.
What?
Being obedient to the word of God is not easy.
You know why it's not? Because we refuse to listen.
And it's also not easy because some people still seek the approval of man.
Right. Because they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They
because
they
want the anointing, but they're not willing to put up with the cost of having it.
I heard this. He said, since I met Christ, no other man has.
Wow.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is it? Everybody want to be my graduate. Everybody following. Everybody want to be these guys.
Michael Jackson.
But who want to be Christ?
Huh? That's a good question.
I want to be like Christ. No. Yes, I want to be like Mike. Who want to be like Christ? Who's the best? The only role model is the Father.
Christ. He said in the beginning of the study, he is the model.
Everybody want to be somebody. Nobody. What else?
That's part of training them up in the way they should go.
Like Christ.
Right.
Not that one. trying to be like Paul. I'm trying to be like Peter. You are. But my sister said we're supposed to try to be like Christ.
Right.
That's true.
So, we have to really understand.
When we go through the fire of purification, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. When someone goes through this process, he sometimes endures some pain. But the comforter rubs his sweet presence on the aching parts to bring relief.
So,
if you want to be used by God, my dear brothers and sisters, let the fire of the Holy Spirit come and burn all the straws, which are impurities of the flesh. Sure, the experience of purification is bitter, but in the end, we will be a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of our beloved Father. Therefore, myrrh speaks of purification.
All right. Purification. Myrrh is one of the ingredients in the...
Yes.
We understand that myrrh is a symbol
of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Myrrh is a symbol of what?
Myrrh.
Purification.
Purification.
Right. Yeah. Purification.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of purification.
Yeah. But yet, you want the anointing. But if you're not willing to go through this, you have to have the. You have to. Must. I think you must. Myrrh is the anointing oil.
Right.
This is one of the ingredients. This is one of the things you must have in it.
Right. And if purification is the process of God getting rid of the impurities of the flesh.
And how do you get rid of the impurities?
You have to burn.
You got to put it in the fire.
Right.
Come on. Fire. See, everybody wants the Holy Ghost. Well, who wants the fire of it?
Yeah. Right.
Who want to get burnt
up? We were taught that the fire, the Holy Ghost, was dancing.
Was dancing in itself. No.
Yeah, dancing. Yeah, that's what I was taught. It was dancing.
Knowledge.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he got fire. Look at it.
It's the fire, exactly.
Fire. Must go through it. It's a purifier.
Right.
So I think it's not powerful.
Right.
Must go through it. It's purification. Like I say, you don't want the anointing.
Yeah.
You really want it. Okay, the next one is what? Cinnamon.
Yes.
Cinnamon oil. Ooh, hallelujah.
The cinnamon oil is distilled from the bark of the cinnamon tree growing in Ceylon. It is something very tasty and is usually used to flavor food because of its pleasant aroma. God said to Israel in Leviticus, I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas because of the disobedience of Israel. Whatever they were offering or doing for God's satisfaction was not pleasant to him. Whenever God's children are disobedient to him, he is not pleased with their prayers or whatever sacrifice they can offer to him. God cannot be bribed. To obey is better than sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
1 Samuel 15:22.
Yes.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, God addressed these as fools who offered a sacrifice to him but were not obedient to him. I know of many precious servants of God, called by God, who can be powerful instruments in the hands of God Almighty, but they remain stagnant and unfruitful.
Not like the bird.
They are satisfied with what is good, and they don't go for the best. Why? It is because they have chosen rather to obey man and man-made traditions other than God. To obey God, there is a price to pay, and it's not cheap. You will have to let go of many things which you have put your trust in. You will lose many so-called friends. You are their friends as long as you stay in their church. When you leave, you become their enemy. At a certain time in your life, and having paid the price, you will feel yourself lonely, misunderstood, and rejected as someone.
Wait a minute. All things working together for the good.
This is for the good.
Now, I want to say this. It says, at a certain time in your life, having paid the price, you will feel yourself alone. Then, this is the cost of the sweet spiritual rhythm, but in the end, it will pay. Raise your hands. I can't see your hands.
I highlighted that part.
But who?
I highlighted that part.
Felt by yourself.
Yep.
Who has felt misunderstood and rejected? I can't raise both of my hands. He will, in your real part, he will bring genuine, faithful friends to your side. Then, your life will be faithful and a pleasant aroma unto God. The cinnamon of the...
Oh,
you want the anointing, but you don't want to be obedient. You want the anointing, but you don't want the purification. You have sentiment.
Obedient.
Master is humor. Now it's blessing. The ingredient is an aromatic bark of a tree growing in Arabia. It is often used by some doctors as medicine. Cassia is derived from a Hebrew root word, hadas, meaning to blend, to bow or bow, or to stew.
Well, where are you at? Because you skipped one, I think, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
To cinnamon after cinnamon is calamus, right?
Calamus.
It's calamus on page 9.
Go ahead, read it.
It says, the calamus is a sweet cane plant of about 10 feet high, growing in Asia in marshy waters. When it is crushed and broken, it elutes a sweet fragrance. Exudes a sweet fragrance. The more it is broken, more of the fragrance is exuded. Okay. In its spiritual application, the calamus speaks of brokenness.
Okay.
But on this one will I look on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word.
He said, on this one will I look. So is God looking on this nigger's home?
No, he's looking on people who are humble and broken. The word contrite in Hebrew is naked, meaning smitten. Meaning smitten. A second word, darker. Meaning to crumble, to bruise, to break into pieces.